Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to start with verse 2. I'm going to read down through and including verse 7. And I'm going to read from the English Standard Version. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 2. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. Verse 4, you are severed from Christ. You who would be justified by the law, you have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. Verse 7. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? The Apostle Paul's method of operation was as follows. The Apostle Paul would enter into an area. Usually it was an area where the gospel had never ever been preached. And Paul would go into that area and he would present the people with the gospel. If they responded positively to his preaching, the Apostle Paul would establish a congregation. He would stay with them long enough to get the congregation on its feet and moving along. And then the Apostle Paul would go into another area and he would repeat that same process. Now, here, all indications is that the Apostle Paul enters into the area of Galatia and he's only there for a short time. But Paul goes into the region of Galatia. He presents the gospel. They respond positively to the gospel. And so he stays with them. He establishes a congregation. They get on their feet. Everything is fine. And then the Apostle Paul moves on. However, he's only gone from Galatia a very short time when he receives word that they have denied and rejected the faith. Now, specifically, here's what those brethren did. Specifically, they went back to the old law. To the law of Moses. And they brought forth elements of the old law, elements such as circumcision. And they took those elements from the old law, they brought them over, and they binded those elements of acts of faith that you had to do in order to be saved in Christ. Now, to the Apostle Paul, if you added to God's great plan, that was equivalent to rejecting the faith altogether. Let me say that again. to the Apostle Paul, if you added anything to God's plan, that was equivalent to rejecting the faith altogether. Now look at it carefully again. Verse 3 and verse 4. Look at it carefully again. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he's obligated to the whole law. Pause. Circumcision was one of the elements from the law of Moses that they were bringing over and binding as acts of salvation. Paul says, if you do that, verse 4, you are severed from Christ. Pause. Well, what does that mean? Well, if you sever my arm from the rest of me, that means that my arm is no longer a part of my body. That means my arm is no longer a part of me. That means my arm is completely away and severed from anything that has to do with me. Look at verse 4. You are severed from Christ. You who would be justified by the law, you have fallen away from grace. Now listen to me carefully, because here's where this sermon is going. The Apostle Paul stood back and he looked at the situation in Galatia. And he says, okay, I went to Galatia. I preached the gospel. They responded to the gospel. So I established the congregation in Galatia. I stayed with them long enough to get things going, and then I left. But I no more got out of the city limits than word is coming to me that these people have turned their backs on Christ. Listen to me. So when the apostle stood back and looked at the whole situation, the apostle Paul came to this conclusion. He says there is only one factor that could cause this. And the one factor that could cause what has happened in Galatia is this. Somebody led them astray. Look at verse 7 again. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? The question the Apostle Paul asked, Paul didn't say, look, what caused this? No, Paul said, I want to know who caused this. Are you listening? Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
People, nobody goes into religious error because of a what? People go into religious error because of a who. Nobody denies the faith and walks away from God because of a what? People deny the faith because of a who. And people go off into religious air, and people deny the faith, and then we who are left, we say, well, what happened to them? Listen, what didn't happen to them? Who happened to them? Look, when Paul heard what happened, Paul didn't say, listen, I want to know what's going on here. He said, look, I want to know who is going on here. His question was not what happened, it's who did it. Listen to me. Most of our problems are not because of a what, they're because of a who. Most of the problems we have is not because we've gotten around the wrong what, we've gotten around the wrong who. And that is the way it's always been. Adam and Eve. One restriction. One. There's a tree in the middle of the garden. Don't touch it and don't eat it or you will die. Listen. Do you know that in the early part of Genesis, that tree never appeared to be a temptation to Adam and Eve until a who came around? And in Genesis 3, that who was the devil disguised as a serpent. That who tempted Eve, and Eve succumbed. Then that who tempted Adam, and Adam succumbed. And yet, today, people still say, well, what happened to Adam and Eve? Listen, what didn't happen to Adam and Eve? Who happened to Adam and Eve? Samson. Do you know that the Bible says about Samson, more than any other person in the Bible, that the Spirit of the Lord was on him? The Spirit of the Lord was on him. The Spirit of the Lord was on him. And in Samson's early life, his early days, Samson was like invincible. But then you get to the end. And in Judges chapter 16 and in verse 21, the Bible says that they put Samson in shackles. They gouged his eyes out. And they took him down to Gaza where he grinded at the mill. He is shackled, he is blind, and he's grinding at the mill. He is shackled, he is blind, and he's grinding at the mill. Well, what happened to Samson? What didn't? Who did? A who named Delilah. Look. We trip up and we trip over not what's, but who's. Who's. People ruin their lives not over a what, but a who. So here's the question. Who in the world is happening to you? Who in the world is happening to you? So, well, we don't know what happens. Yeah, we do. What didn't? Who did? Quickly, two observations. Stay with me, it won't be long. Number one, who do you run with? Look, we naturally become like the people we associate with. If you spend the most of your time with people who are unspiritual, you are going to lose your spirituality. If you spend the majority of your time with people who are bitter, you're going to become bitter. If you spend the majority of your time around people who are negative about everything, who are anxious about everything under the sun, you will become negative and anxious. We become like those who we run with. Listen. Listen. Who is the dominant influence in your life? Who? Who? Who is the dominant influence in your life? If you want to become a spiritual person, if you want to become that which God wants you to be, you've got to get around spiritual people. Listen, watch what they do. Listen to what they say and imitate them. What happened to her? What didn't? Who did? Yes. Who do you run with? Number two, who do you counsel with? Now I'm be as straight as I can be straight right here. I'm be straight as I can be. At some point, every one of us need help. At some point, every one of us needs advice. Every one of us needs counsel at some point. But where you go to get that advice is going to largely determine the direction of your life. The next 30 seconds can get you to heaven. The next 30 seconds can get you to heaven. It is almost impossible to fall if you are a Christian. I said it is almost impossible for you to fall if you are a Christian. If you will go to the right person at the right time and pay attention to what they tell you. On the other hand, one small decision can unravel your life and destroy you if you go to the wrong who. Look, everybody in here is smarter than me about everything else in the world except this right here, what I'm talking about. I know this. And I know that people, and I know that many Christians, look, you are setting yourself up for failure if you go to the wrong who to get advice. Bless your heart. Don't get marriage advice from somebody who's been divorced 5 times. And I gotta say that out loud. Stop getting financial advice from your broke brother-in-law. Everybody in here got a broke brother-in-law, don't you? I'm telling you, they are. Look, to me, this is just no-brainer. If I was going to open a restaurant and sell hamburgers, I'm not going to do it. But if I was going to open a restaurant and sell hamburgers, I wouldn't go down here to this guy who sells 2 a week. Right? What's he gonna tell me? Here's how you sell 2 a week? I'm gonna go to the guy who's selling all kinds of. Listen. You understand what I'm telling you? The Apostle Paul goes into Galatia, he preaches, they love it, he establishes a church, they're doing good, and he leaves, and a very short time later, they're coming to Paul and saying, listen, they have abandoned the faith. Paul comes back to them, his question isn't what has happened to you, brethren, his question is who has done this to you. Now, I'm going to say this too. The problem with young people, you have the same problem that your parents have. And you have the same problem that your parents have and that your preacher has. The problem isn't what, the problem is who. It's who. 40 years ago, I was in South Haven, Michigan at a lectureship. And a guy was preaching. I remember him. He's gone. He's with the Lord now. I remember the passage. He was 40 years ago. And he made this statement. He said, every young person, listen to me, every young person who has ever gone wrong has gone wrong for the same reason they got in the wrong crowd. Now, when he said that, I thought to myself, man, that's an awful sweeping statement. I'm telling you the truth. When he said that, I thought, man, that's an awful broad brush you're painting there. But that's what he said. Listen to me. 40 years, for 40 years, I've tested that. Don't ask me why I remembered that. And in 40 years, I'm telling you, not one time have I ever saw that not true. I've never seen an exception to it. Now, a lot of things will present themselves. Are you listening? But I'm telling you, if you'll get the fog out of the way and get everything else out of the way, and if you'll get right down to the root of it, the problem is a somebody. The problem is a who? Problem is a who? Faithful brethren don't apostatize by themselves. Listen, I'm done. It's very, very important what we do. Amen? It's very, very important what we do. But it's more important is the who. What's more important is the who. Because most of our what's is because of a who. Well, what's he doing? No, no, no. Who got him to do it? Who got him to do it? So who in the world's happening to you? Who in the world's happening to you? It don't take a gang. It takes one. Ask Samson. It takes one. Who in the world's happening to you? Who you run with? And who you listening to for advice. If you need to respond, do it right now as together we stand and as we sing.